Thank you. My stack is getting bigger. Did you notice a shift in atmosphere as soon as we started singing that last song? Our God is an awesome God. Did you sense a shift? Perhaps it was inside you, perhaps it was around, I don't know, but I'll teach on that another day. Okay? But be prepared for the future of Green Street Green Baptist Church and what God has for us. So, I'm used to preaching in a smaller church, so someone reminded me, you need to write bigger in a bigger church. Oh, sorry, Mike. So I shall. Okay, we've got the priestly blessing coming back up there a couple of weeks ago before Johan warned us that we all need to be whacked on the head by a monkey. Every now and again, we look to the priestly blessing, the Father. We've got the Lord's Prayer in the New Testament. We've got Jesus' prayer, but also our Heavenly Father, Abba, gave us a blessing, a prayer that we could speak over one another. He wanted his priests, and we're priests, by the way. More on that later. The Lord bless you. And we learn that the word bless is the word barak in the Hebrew, and barak literally means to kneel down, a bit like they would say a camel would barak when it was carrying all its goods, and it would kneel down so that the person could get off, or you could get the goodies off of the camel. And here we see a picture of the Lord wanting the priests to speak this blessing over his children so that the Lord himself, the God of creation, could actually kneel down before his children. And the next bit we see, keep you, meaning put his arms around you. And it's a picture of the parable of the two sons and the father, the prodigal son, you might know it as. And we compared the two. And you get this amazing picture of a father who longingly waits for his children to come home, to realize who he really is, how better off they are in with him. And he embraces them. He runs to the child. He embraces him. He kisses him. He clothes him once more with that amazing robe, ring of authority and sonship or childship. And then we see God of the universe kneeling, putting his arms around us, lifting us up like a child, showing us his face. And we could go two ways from what we learned the other day. We could go about the power of his name, so they will put my name upon the Israelites and I will bless them. Or we could talk about the importance of blessing. So as we move on, I want you to see if you can guess which way we're going. Are we going with the name or are we going with the blessing? And mind you, you might already know from what's already been said this morning. That's okay. Right. There are four things. Let me get my fingers right. Four things that Jesus said we should do to our enemies. Four things that the kingdom of God works by, operates in. This is a secret of how God's kingdom works. So there are four things that Jesus said we should do even to our enemies. What are they? Love. There we go. Okay. I had to scrounge this pen from the back at last minute. Can you see that? What else? Forgive. Well, that's not on my list. I know it's true that we should forgive, but there are four things that Jesus specifically said. I tell you, love your enemies. Pray. Pray for them. What else? Okay. And one more. Feed them. Well, I mean, that would be part of what he says. Turn to Luke 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Yeah. Mike's got there first. Do good. Which would involve feeding them and doing all sorts of things. So, it goes without saying that if we are to do this to our enemies, then obviously we are to do this to everyone else as well. Okay, the extreme is even to our enemies. Can you imagine loving someone, what that would look like? We can probably have our own guesses of what that would look like in our own lives. Praying for someone, ever done that? I hope so. Blessing someone, doing good. Now, I think we can take these three as, yeah, I think I know what they look like. I know what it looks like to love someone, even my enemy. I know what it looks like to pray for someone. I know what it looks like to do good. But what does it look like for you to bless someone? Now, we're not talking about taking around a bunch of flowers, or I blessed them with a bunch of flowers. That is not what Jesus is talking about. This is the biblical version of bless. A bit like what we saw Heavenly Father doing, kneeling down, giving us His goodness. It's blessing in a sense of being a conduit for God's goodness through you to someone else. Normally, but via your words. Just like He asked the priest, speak these words, speak this blessing over my people. So to bless is normally to speak God's words over a place or a person or people. Okay? So basically, your words to be a conduit for God's goodness upon someone or somewhere. That's what it means when Jesus says, I want you to bless people. It says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. So here's a secret of how the kingdom of God operates. Love, doing good, blessing, and prayer. Can you see yourself personally blessing someone? I first became aware of the importance of blessing. Actually, Christians are called to be a people who bless. And I saw a YouTube clip of a lady who was blind for years and years. She had about six children, and she became blind halfway through having a family, so she hadn't even physically seen three of her children. And she had a stay at a place called Faldybrennan in Wales. I don't know, some of you might know it, some of you might have even stayed there. A very small, out-of-the-way place in the middle of nowhere in Wales, a Christian retreat. And she stayed, she didn't actually stay at Faldybrennan, she stayed in a campsite nearby, but she spent a day at Faldybrennan around the grounds, and then she went to the prayer meeting at night, and something miraculous happened. All of a sudden, she began to see for the first time in years. And then I watched that clip led to another clip, and I watched a lady from New Zealand who had stayed at Faldybrennan, learned about what they did there, went back to her hometown in New Zealand, and she's now seen revival happen between biker gangs. So, what's the secret? Well, Roy and Daphne Godwin had become the managers of a quiet and unassuming Christian retreat in an out-of-the-way place called Faldybrennan. It had definitely been a call of God for Roy and Daphne. Thank you. To go there, but Roy naturally was an evangelist. That's what he liked doing. And so he got quite frustrated when he found himself months on end, really not evangelizing. Christians were visiting the retreat, having quiet days, and he started to kind of second guess his calling. Have you really called me to this place? It suddenly changed when they adopted the habit and not just praying for their guests, which was always the habit, but they began to bless them. And we'll talk about what it means to bless and what it looks like in a bit. Suddenly, they found the presence of God began to manifest more than ever before in the years and years of this Christian retreat. And signs and wonders started to take place too. Hence the testimony of the lady who'd been blind, but now she could see. On top of that, God began to bring non-Christian people, even supernaturally, finding themselves at the center and saying, what is this place? Why am I here? Why do I feel like I was driving along a country lane and all of a sudden I had to turn up this very steep driveway? And Roy found himself evangelizing again. And he didn't even have to go anywhere. So what would happen if they actually began to start blessing their community as well? Roy's first book, The Grace Outpouring. I just want to read a short bit to you. It was so rewarding to speak blessings on the people God brought along who didn't know him. So he turned our sights outward and began a pattern of speaking blessings into the local community. Every Friday morning in our chapel meeting, we would speak blessings over the neighborhood. Their chapel is tiny as well. You can fit maybe about 23 people if they all sit in this circle. Where are we? Every Friday morning in our chapel meeting, we would speak blessings over the neighborhood. The valley below us has a 2-mile section you could call our locality. It is home to about 80 people scattered across its half-mile width. Gradually, a structure emerged as we continued in our tradition of blessing prayer. And we now pray in that pattern as a matter of course. We pray for people and we pray for households. We speak into every household, blessing it in the name of Jesus. We're not interceding. We're speaking to them in the name of Jesus. So we bless every household, we bless every marriage, we bless the relationships between family members of different generations, and we bless their health and their wealth. We bless the work of their hands, we bless every wholesome enterprise they're involved with, that they may prosper. Because we are in an agricultural community, we bless the flocks and the herds, and we bless the grass so that it will be nutritious in winter, which it wouldn't be normally, and will not need to be supplemented in order to strengthen the animals. We bless supportive networks of friendship that run through the community because they're a sign of the kingdom. We bless the pupils of our rural school and ask God to aid their learning. We bless the teachers and pray that the school may be a safe and wholesome place where simple childlike trust and belief in God and in Jesus can be comfortably maintained. We pray for both places of worship in the valley, that the word of God and the spirit of God may flow forth out from both. Then we speak to the hearts of all the people who are in the community. We bless them to be safe and to be softened so they may become more and more responsive to the voice of God. We bless them with the overspill of the kingdom of heaven being made manifest here in Faulbrunnen. Before long, we began to see the fruit of these prayers in quite miraculous ways. A man who rented a small stable in the community and did agricultural repairs had not been finding things easy. After we began blessing the valley in the name of Jesus, his business suddenly began to take off. He had to acquire larger premises and to employ people and was able to buy his own house. The lambing season came and more miracles emerged. We had been blessing the ewes to be strong and healthy and productive. One of our farmer neighbors told us how he'd been absolutely stunned by the number of quads and triplets being born to his ewes. His normal hope was for many twins. The ewes were coping well, but his wife was run off her feet supporting the rest of the lambs with bottle feeds. He wasn't the only farmer with a story to tell. Another one stopped me in the road and said, come and look at this field with me. Just beyond the gate, there was a massive bull. He carefully walked around the bull with an arm stiffened in front of him as if to ward off an attack. The bull was staring at him, slowly turning facing him as he walked around. The farmer invited me to join him. I declined. He insisted. I closed the gate and refused again. Now he was stuck in the field with a bull and an obstinate onlooker. He managed to divide off a cow and her calf and invited me to consider how excellent the calf's rear end was. Being no expert on bovine hindquarters, I merely murmured some niceties. He had to spell it out for me. The calf was clearly, given the breadth of its rear, going to be a superb bull. It seems that farmers pray for at least once in a lifetime they may have a calf like that one. He still clearly felt I wasn't grasping how good this was. I had one like it last year as well, he said. It's completely unnatural. I told him that we'd been praying and that the blessing of God would fall on the cattle, on the herds of the locality. Another seed is planted in another life as God's blessing unfolded in the life of a farmer in this green valley in Pembrokeshire. But there was more. A lady who lives out in the wilds at the head of the valley runs a farmhouse bed and breakfast. Suddenly, she was awarded AA Landlady of the Year for Great Britain and was so busy at the wards, on publicity trips and on TV studios. Even now, we tease her and tell her we're having a plaque put up at Fowdy Brennan, which will claim we are friends of the award-winning Lilwenan McAllister. This remote valley was seeing material and spiritual blessing. The chapel had not had a baptism for a good few years, but after we prayed the prayer of blessing, a dam seemed to break. One very cold day, muddy underfoot, we were able to witness about 7 people being baptized in the open-air baptistry, fed by the local stream. Chilly. My old ways of sharing my faith were being changed as this understanding of blessing people began to not merely take hold of our hearts, but actually bear fruit in our community. As a Christian, do you ever feel that you're missing a few bits of the jigsaw puzzle? You know, I'm just not getting something. Well, maybe what Jesus is saying here, that we're actually called not just to love, pray, and do good, but we're meant to be a people who bless as well. Okay. Would anyone like to see around your area what they saw? Okay. Turn to Mark chapter 10. My favorite picture of blessing is this one of Jesus. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. You remember it is parents bringing children to Jesus. Mark 10, verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Now, I just want to interject something here. For a word to the wise, for 2 weeks' time, is we're having a parade service. But the girls' brigade and all our youth are not going out. They're staying here. 6 times in a year, we're going to have a parade service where we as a church family embrace our family in the Girls' Brigade. They're part of our church family. They're not just hall users. It is led by people of this church, and they witness to those kids. I went to see, and the older group, at the end, Amanda said, "Now let's pray." And I just imagined Amanda was going to pray. But no. Each of the 7 or 8 girls prayed. This is part of our church family. And we are going to embrace them 6 times a year in a Sunday service. But not just the Girls' Brigade, all our young people. Okay? And I've heard, I know it happens in other churches as well, but I've heard that historically, when we've had all-age services where we kind of focus on uplifting the kids, encouraging the kids, teaching the kids, that some people stay away from the family that day. For whatever reason, they choose to go to another church or don't go to church at all. I was journaling this morning, and I wrote this question. Why do you go to the cinema? To see a film that you want to watch. If the cinema wasn't showing any films that you like, would you go to the cinema? No. Because you go to the cinema for you. Because you want to. Because I want to see that film. Why do you come to this church? Because it's your family. It's the place that God has called you to be. Yeah? It's where you serve. It's where you meet. It's where you encourage. It is where you learn. So we shouldn't treat church like a cinema. This week, they're not showing what I want. So I'm not going to go. If you rang your mum up and said, "Mum, I know I'm coming round for Sunday dinner. What are you cooking?" "Well, I thought we'd have roast chicken. Oh, I'm going to go to mother-in-law's because she's having roast lamb." If you take this scripture from the, is it the King James where it says, "Suffer the children"? Does it say, "Suffer the little children to come to me"? So even if you have to sit here and suffer, obviously, if you wake up and Jesus himself says, "I don't want you to go to Green Street Green Baptist Church this morning. I want you to go somewhere else. Or have a morning off. Spend time with your kids." Or whatever it is, obviously be led by him. But don't be led by your own consumerism kind of me, 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 me. Okay? We're so blessed to have Simon, our evangelist. But the Bible does say that Jesus gave the gifts of an evangelist to actually build up the rest of the church. So we are to help be led by him and help, you know, go out ourselves as well. But we tend to feel guilty that we don't do enough about the Great Commission. See it as a parade service, as part of your Great Commission. To go from your house and sit here. Just so that your presence is encouraging to your brothers and sisters, but also encouraging as we enjoy and celebrate our young people. Is that good? And hopefully, you will enjoy it too. Okay. Right, back. Back. Where are we? When Jesus saw this, verse 14, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." He took the children in his arms, be like that, placed his hands on them, yeah, still like me, and he blessed them. He blessed them. What did that blessing look like? It doesn't say. Was it the priestly blessing? "May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you." Was it that one? I don't know. But Jesus blessed them. What if Jesus asked you to bless them? Remember he asked, was it Philip to feed the 5,000? He said, "You feed them." Oh. What if Jesus, a group of children came to Jesus and Jesus said, "You bless them." What would you say? What would you do? Perhaps Jesus is asking you to bless people. Okay, if we asked our kids to curse something, do you think they'd find that easy? "Curse your school." I used to do that every fireworks night. "Come on, land on the school, burn it down." We find it easy to curse, don't we? But how about blessing? Bless your school, kids. What would they do then? Don't know. Okay, where are we now? According to Luke, do you know what the last thing Jesus did before he ascended up to heaven? What did he do? Turn to Luke 24. What was it? Someone called it out? Yeah, I think you probably guessed by now, but he did. Luke 24. We're just getting a picture here of Jesus and his blessing and what he meant to him. Luke 24, verse 50. Luke 24, verse 50. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Jesus blessed them. Jesus, we know, prayed for them. He prayed to his Father for his disciples, but he also blessed them. Blessing is different from prayer. It accompanies prayer, it complements prayer, but it's different. And that's what I hope we'll see today, that as sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, priests as well, we can pray to the Father for people and situations which we believe in, and we can and should bless people too. I want you to know this morning that you are dressed to bless. You are dressed to bless. Why? You don't turn there, but in Galatians 3:27 it says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." You are dressed to bless because you're clothed in Christ. Christ is a blesser. Your Father is a blesser. And he says, go and bless. So you're dressed to bless. You can probably guess now, but what was the first thing that God said to Adam and Eve after he created them? What was the first thing he did? He blessed them. Genesis 1. Let's go to Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. Of course he did, because he's a blessing God. And said to them, and here's the blessing. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So this first blessing that God said over his people was, be fruitful, increase, and have authority or rule. Okay? That was the first blessing that God ever spoke over people. And out of interest, do you know what or whom God blessed first of all, even before people? Do you know what it was? Go to verse 20. We're in Genesis 1, go to verse 20. Going back a bit. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves in about it according to their kinds and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas. Let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. So God blessed the birds and everything in the water and the sea and said, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say rule though, but he said be fruitful and multiply. Now notice something missing when God creates the land animals, okay? Verse 24. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. Interestingly, whose kind were you made of? The animals were made of each kind. The birds were made of their kind. Whose kind are you made from? God's. Okay? You are made in the image of God. You come from God's kind. Therefore, is it possible for you to be able to relate to God? Would God have designed you to have the inbuilt capacity to hear him, to know him, to enjoy him? Yes. Whether you realize that or feel like it, it's true. You can enjoy God, hear him, know him. Verse 25, God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Have you noticed what's missing? He hasn't blessed them. He blessed those in the sky and those in the water, but he hasn't blessed the land creatures. I want to suggest that God blessed the sea and the air, but the land on which the people would dwell, he did not bless them because that's our job. But perhaps to rule by blessing and be a blessing, to be the blessed and be the blessers in partnership with God. Maybe that's why he didn't bless the land animals and the land, because that's our particular domain, and that we're supposed to do the blessing, maybe. Some people. I'm not sure if I would agree with that one. Created in the image of God, they were to be a blessing to the earth. And working in the power of the blessing, reign in the garden and beyond. But, here's the problem. The wonderful partnership with God, where they walked and talked with God in the garden, and ruled by the blessing, came to an abrupt end when man exchanged the blessing of God for the curse of evil. Suddenly, there was a breakdown in relationships. They saw themselves negatively when they sinned. They felt naked and ashamed. They saw God differently. They feared God. There was now tension between the woman and the man. They blamed each other. It was the woman, she did it. The ground became cursed as well, and thorny, and hard work. And the man's work would be toilsome and hard. So all of a sudden, there's now separation between God and people, people and people, and the people and the ground. But one day, Jesus would come, bringing a taste of what it really looks like for God, for his kingdom to appear once again, and for the curse to be reversed. Suddenly, food was multiplied miraculously, without hokey-pokery, just with a blessing, with prayer, with words. Water was turned into wine. Sick people were healed. Relationships were restored. And evil was sent packing. And one day, when Jesus returns, we shall see the restoration of all things. But in the meantime, right now, and even in the Old Testament, because of the goodness of God, God's people still had two things to cause God's kingdom to happen on the earth as it is in heaven. Not in the amazing, kind of manifest, hugely 100% way that Jesus showed it, but still happenings of heaven on earth. And the two things that cause it to happen, prayer and blessing. As we saw, God gave the Old Testament people a blessing to speak over them. We have a fair idea of what prayer looks like, but I'm expecting not much about what blessing looks like in our lives. If I sneeze right now, how many people would be tempted to say, bless you? Or God bless you? Even non-Christians or complete atheists would say, bless you. It is in us to bless, but we don't fully comprehend how to and what to. Okay. Are we running out of time? Yes. All right. We might have to go for a part two, mightn't we? Okay. After God blessed Adam and Eve, anyone know whom God blessed next? Who was the next person that God blessed after Adam and Eve? He hasn't stopped blessing just because they've sinned, because the curse has entered the world and things have gone bad. He still wants to bless his people. He still wants good for them. Jesus is coming, and he'll reveal what God's kingdom fully looks like. Who was next? Who, sorry? Abel. Was it Abel? I've got Noah. Unless it is Abel, and I've got it wrong. Okay, Genesis 9. Okay, you can prove me wrong. Genesis 9. Verse 1. Then God blessed Noah. This is after they've survived the flood. God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Interestingly, do you remember what it was? What was the first thing that Noah was recorded as doing after God blessed them? He got drunk And he cursed his grandson Canaan when he woke up. You remember that? How fickle are human beings? If only we knew that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Okay. But God does not give up on us. Okay. Perhaps that's why in Romans 12 it says, "Their fear of the dread of the Lord, sorry, the fear and dread of all will fall." Oh. Okay. Now this is what? No, I'm getting confused. Sorry. In Romans it says, "Bless and do not curse." All right. Continuing on in Genesis chapter 9. So God has just blessed Noah and said to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth." Verse 2. "The fear and dread of all of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and the birds of the sky and every creature that moves along the ground and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands." Notice what's missing from this blessing, which was lost in the fall. He blessed them to be fruitful and increase, but the authority, the rule and domain is no longer there. The birds of the sea and the living creatures will be under them, not because they have rule and authority, but because they fear and dread you. Okay? The rule and the dominion went to the devil. Jesus called him the God of this world. The humans are still over the animals in a sense, but this isn't because they're blessed authority. This is because the animals fear and dread them. But remember, okay, we'll end here. We'll talk about how to bless and what that might look like another day. But remember when Jesus blessed his disciples just before he ascended, after his resurrection? What do you think that blessing sounded like? Well, Luke recorded what he said when he blessed them. Sorry, Luke recorded that he blessed them, but in Matthew, we hear what he actually said, or part of that blessing. Matthew 28, and we'll finish here. So Luke records that Jesus lifted up his hands and he blessed them, and as he was blessing them, he ascended into heaven. Matthew in 28 records what were some of Jesus' words. Matthew 28, verse 18. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" The rule and the dominion is back. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, be fruitful and multiply, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely," just like Simon said this morning, "and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Do the words of this blessing, do they remind you of another blessing God spoke over humankind at the very beginning? He said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply and have dominion, rule." And now Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me. Now you go and be fruitful and multiply." It's no coincidence that the Bible refers to Jesus as the second Adam or the last Adam. He's won it back. He's won the full blessing back. And now he's passing it on to us. And the blessing has the power to reverse the curse. Remember what the curse did? It separated people from people. It separated people from God. And it separated people from the earth. So the blessing that Jesus has given us authority to use can connect people to people, people to God, and people to the earth once more. And that's what they began to see in Faldebrenner, when they discovered their calling, their authority to bless, to speak God's very words of goodness over people and places. I want you to go away and ponder this. I'll teach more on actually what you can say, what it might look like. Obviously, we'll get it from Scripture first, and then we'll sort it out, what it means to us. Just go away and maybe think about it. Research it for yourself. Perhaps practice it. Maybe not practice it on other people just yet, if you're not confident in what to do and how to say, but in your prayer time. Begin to bless. Don't just pray, but also begin to bless. I recommend the book Grace Outpouring as well, if you want to go and look that up. Or just look up Fowler Brennan on YouTube, and you'll see what they do and some of their testimonies. And Paul, I apologize if I was a bit abrupt. Where are you, Paul? Apologies if I was a bit abrupt earlier. Thank you. Amen. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Go and seek out the word blessing in your word.
Shine, Jesus, shine.